When I started producing for the birds in 1986, there were no restrictions whatsoever on lead in ammunition and tackle for hunting and fishing, even though lead had been known for a long time to be a dangerous neurotoxin. Lead can be smelted from galena, its widely distributed ore, in an ordinary wood fire. So people in ancient cultures were quick to discover many uses for it in tools, cookware, and even such things as coal, an eye cosmetic we now realize is toxic. Ancient Egyptians applied coal around their eyes to reduce the glare of the desert sun and to repel flies, who, unlike the ostensibly most intelligent species on the planet, were smart enough to avoid contact with it. Both the chemical symbol for lead, PB, and the word plumbing are derived from the Latin plumbium, because lead was used to make early Roman water pipes. It's cheap, malleable and easy to work with, durable, and does not rust. Virtually all plumbing in American cities and towns, from water mains to the pipes inside houses, was made with lead well into the 20th century. My house was built around 1910 or so. The inside pipes had been upgraded before we moved here in 1981, but after we'd been here a few years, Russ suddenly realized that the line from the city's water main to our house was lead. At the time, I was pregnant with Tommy, Katie was a toddler, and Joey was little, so we immediately pressured the city to replace it, mostly at our expense. It probably didn't cause any harm, but why risk it? It wasn't until the horrifying situation in Flint, Michigan, that municipalities started getting serious about lead water mains and pipes. Duluth is still in the process of replacing the old system little by little. It's not as if people in the mid-1900s were unaware of the danger of lead pipes. Australia banned lead service lines carrying water to households in 1930. But despite the known dangers, new service lines could legally be made of lead in the U.S. until a provision of the Clean Water Act finally banned it in 1987. Before that, some localities actually mandated the use of lead in service lines, primarily due to lobbying by lead manufacturers and plumbing unions. Small wonder that several nuns at my Catholic school called money filthy lucre. As bad as lead plumbing was, even more dangerous for ancient Romans was pewter tableware. Polished pewter was almost as beautiful as silver, but much cheaper, so it was very popular with the middle class in Rome, and lead was a standard component. Wine is acidic, readily leaching lead from pewter goblets or jugs. Vintage pewter is usually about 15% lead, but can be as much as 40%, and it was not until the 1970s that the U.S. started phasing out the use of lead in pewter, so it's dangerous to serve food or drink in pewter unless you are certain it was made after 1974. Even worse than pewter tableware was lead in cookware. Ancient Romans boiled down grapes to make a sweetener called sapa, inadvertently concentrating lead acetate in their food and wine. Lead is especially dangerous for babies, children, and pregnant women, and we've known for a long time that exposure to it contributes to cognitive decline, infertility, and erratic behavior in people of all ages. Many historians consider lead toxicity to be one of several contributing factors leading to the fall of the Roman Empire. I can't help but wonder if lead toxicity is a contributing factor in the cognitive decline and erratic behavior of many Americans. In researching this, I read comments by antique collectors who insist they eat and drink from old pewter all the time and have never felt ill effects. Few of us notice a very gradual cognitive decline, temporary or permanent, whether it's due to aging, dehydration, illness, drug drug use, brain worms, or the slow bioaccumulation of lead, even when it starts impairing our judgment about serious matters. Lead was used in paints in residential housing in the U.S. until 1978. The purpose was primarily to speed up drying times, increase overall durability, and improve resistance to moisture and weathering. Also, some lead compounds, such as white lead, served as a premium pigment, providing a brilliant color, high opacity, and a smooth finish. The dry weight of indoor paints was at least 10% lead, and outdoor paints as much as 50%. In the 1950s, my little brother often swallowed paint chips from our dining room windowsill. My mother thought it was no problem because the windowsill was clean. That poor child suffered cognitive problems his whole life and was functionally illiterate. But there were many compounding factors. He was premature, weighing less than 4 pounds when he was born in 1955. He was shunted off to first grade when he was 3 months shy of 6 years old. He always struggled in school. And he was introduced to drugs at a young age, but those leaden paint chips certainly did not help. As it ages, lead paint doesn't only chip and crack, it also chalks, releasing toxic dust. So anyone exposed to the air around old paint is likely to be breathing in some lead. Homes built after 1978 are extremely unlikely to have any lead paint, but a great many houses built before then still have exposed lead paint in areas that are not often redecorated, such as closets, attics, and basements. In most very old houses like mine, virtually all the old lead paint had been painted over or wallpapered many times, so all the lead has been trapped, at least until remodeling or sanding, when it can be released into the air. Gasoline used to be leaded. As it combusted, the lead was released into the air, most eventually working its way into surface water, soil, and groundwater. One of my vivid childhood memories was how quickly fresh snow along roadsides turned black and crusty due to the lead and other particulates in car exhaust. Lots of moneyed interests, including Standard Oil, General Motors, and the Ethel Corporation, a lead additive manufacturer, fought against regulating leaded fuel. But with the national focus on pollution after the first Earth Day in 1970, there was enough political pressure for Congress to start requiring catalytic converters on cars to meet new emission standards. Leaded gasoline permanently damages catalytic converters, so all cars built after 1975 were required to have a smaller filler neck to the gas tank, which accommodates only the narrower, lead-free gas pump nozzles. Leaded gasoline was entirely banned for on-road vehicles in 1996, though it's still available for some highly restricted uses, and lead is still a component of car batteries, X-ray shielding, many electronics, solder, and plenty of other things. Without strenuous regulations and enforcement, it readily leaches into ground and surface water at landfills. Tomorrow, I'll talk about how the lead in ammunition for hunting harms human beings. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.